Hi, this is Pastor John. Thank you for coming to the site. Over the years, I've done many, many radio broadcasts, and I've done broadcasts with many, many very famous, well-known people. One of the finest interviews that I've ever had in my life was with Cecil Chip Murray. The extended interview, I'm not going to play at this particular point, but what I'd like to do is I'd like to share with you, I think, some very insightful things that Cecil Chip Murray, who was once the pastor of the First AME Church here in Los Angeles, fame is what they call the church. I had gone and did a two-day prison ministry thing at one of the Tehachapi state prisons, and Cecil Chip Murray's prison group had also gone to do that, and so I had him come and appear on one of the radio presentations with me. What's interesting about this interview that I want you to hear, and it takes place, it's about 13, 14-minute interview, a section of the show. I want you to listen to it because Chip and I had a lively discussion, and the discussion had to do with the social agenda or the spiritual agenda. I think that Chip had some noteworthy things to say about the social agenda and what black men need as they transition out of the prison system into society, and how I seem to bring about the recognition that there needs to be another agenda also. So I'd like you to listen to the interview and enjoy. Now, Pastor Murray, you speak about Ezekiel 37. Granted, preach the word to them, but I think that we heard something in this brother's letter. He said, I was raised in the church, man. I heard all that preaching.
But that's just the point, Pastor. Ezekiel wasn't instructed to preach to those in the prison because they are there and need the help of those who are in the churches. Preach to those dry bones in the churches.
Excuse me. If
the churches get their head on straight, then they will be able to speak to people like this.
You mean to tell me that in the church you have unregenerate, debauched people sitting in those pews every Sunday in front of you and me, that we are seeking to get saved in God's house?
And beyond that, some of the
mercy,
lack of Christian generosity and regeneration starts in the pulpit. If we could come to understand it isn't enough to save the saved, we've also got to save the lost.
But we're already saved. I mean, wasn't it supposed to be from the biblical agenda? If we look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, I believe that the scriptures are very clear when it says, and you were dead in trespasses and sins. Paul was speaking to a church that had been transformed by the power of God, and it says, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience.
Beautiful.
So would it not be factual to that Paul is addressing a church that was supposed to be alive to Christ? I guess the inevitable question is, Chip, is that do we continuously preach repentance to people that sitting in the pew every Sunday that are completely out of their minds and sin?
I think we have to structure good works. Paul was preaching to this church, then he sent for the Spirit. The church got rejuvenated. Now he says, you must go out to help beyond you. We received 13 letters from various prisoners since our visit there. Each one of them must have an immediate response. Within 5 days, they must have a letter in their hand. One wanted legal assistance. One wanted some biblical literature. One wanted some help in transitioning back to civilian life.
Yes.
The church can't just say, well, we'll pray for you. If you have had the Spirit to fill you, you have to do something beyond yourself.
And would it be proper to say that would be the expectation of the church in our community? Would you say that the church is ready to address that particular issue? How can an immature, debauched church help a poor fella in prison that wants to come out and get into a spiritual relationship?
It must first of all get rid of a psychological barrier of fear. We act as if men in prison are to be feared, and we want to tremble around them as if they are worse than we are. They're no worse than we are.
And we know that the Bible already says if we are believers, that perfect love
casts
out all fear. So
I would disagree that it's a psychological thing. How about it being a disobedient thing?
A spiritual thing of disobedience. All right.
Okay. All right. All right. Then looks like we're getting in our first caller, so we're going to say hello to Doug from L.A. Thank you for calling, Doug.
Pastor Coleman.
Good evening. I'm so glad that you called Living by the Word tonight. And what's your question? Well, really, I think you have a comment on the line, so share with us.
Well, there's probably a mixture of questions and comments when it comes to this particular matter.
Go ahead.
Because it's not necessarily clear to anyone, I suppose, as far as the churches are concerned, as to what to do and in context of what they can do.
And why do you, and where do you think the uncertainty is or the lack of clarity comes from?
Well, I was saying to your screener that most present ministries in churches are constituted of persons who have an expressed interest in that particular regard.
What do you mean?
You may have a congregation with 1,500 people, let's say, in membership, and maybe 50 out of the 1,500 are dedicated to that particular ministry. You may have another 100, 200 whose only interest are singing in the choir. And on and on and on and on. You see.
Are you saying, Doug, that it is the actual right of every believer to be involved in prison ministry? Because I wouldn't agree with that.
No, I'm not saying a right. I'm saying that that tends to be what people, they do what they're interested in. And so that lays upon, it puts a burden on the ministry, the minister, the pastor, the leadership of the church, who has, let's just say, a vision of a direction for the church to go into.
Would you agree, Doug, with Pastor Murray and myself and Brother Mike in the booth here tonight, that since we have individuals getting out of the prison system, coming back into our community, coming into a religious community, that on a scale from 1 to 10, how well have we been working this out?
Well, one congregation give them 9 or 10, and another 1 to 0. It all depends on the group in which we are placing that question.
That's an ambiguous answer. I mean, can we find some clarity here? Can you? Now, just a second. Chip, you stated that you have a prison ministry.
Right.
In your church. How many individuals are involved in that ministry?
Well, it's a core of about 75 individuals.
Okay.
And we keep trying to replenish and replenish because the attrition rate, after a year or two, they tend to burn out. But if you keep feeding it. But here's a thing, Doug. Suppose you go to the nearest college, and there's always a college somewhere near you, and recruit from the freshman class 25 volunteers who will just write letters. Go to the law school out there and ask if there are some of those who will adjudicate some cases or help them to find some legal redress if, in fact, they have a good case. Suppose you go to the emergency feeding place or clothing place and see to the families of those that are in prisons. You don't have to have the membership in the church itself. All you have to do is have a good core committee, 3 or 4 or 5 people, as we have Beth Ross, and she recruits some 75 workers, and therefore they can go on with the task force ministry on prisons. But the average American church is only 200 members. Churches of 2,000 or more are less than 1% of American churches. So if we go by size, we won't do anything at all. You got to take those 200 people and do 200 things. And the only way you can do it is by multiplying yourself. It's better to put 10 people to work than to do the work of 10 people.
Well, see, Pastor Murray has a strategy. And he has the people, apparently, who are working within his ministry who have developed a viable means to address the various kinds of problems and issues that come with serving the prison population. You don't have that in a lot of the churches who do have prison ministries.
All right. Now, I'm going to ask a very difficult question here tonight. Doug, thank you for your call. Okay?
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, brother.
Uh-huh, thank you.
Pastor Murray, I'm going to ask you a very difficult question, and you can decline from answering it if you wish.
No, truth is truth.
Okay. When you develop a ministry, since Doug was speaking about strategy, and since you alluded to the Ezekiel 37 text.
Yes.
Do you think it important to incorporate in that strategy a vision of biblical instruction for the man as he is reintroduced into the community? In other words, I would like to ask a little bit about that prison ministry strategy. We're not talking about the finding the place to live or maybe securing a job. Those are social agendas, and that's good. The con coming out of, you know, the prisoner coming out of prison needs that. What about the inner man? How do we, besides setting him in the congregation and preaching to him every week, because you just alluded to yourself, you got a lot of folks in there every Sunday and are not changing at all.
John, is it either or is it both? And surely you can't just bring a person out and feed his spirit alone. Surely you can't bring a person out and just give him some bread and a place to stay alone.
Right.
It's both and. The spirit is not just some ethos or ghost or something floating around in us.
Ah.
It is the totality of the human being.
But that spirit chip has to be fed if he's a believer, because we met some believers in those
right.
prisons that are coming out. And what's more important than putting food in their stomachs and clothes on their backs is you've got to feed the soul.
We said you've got to do them both, because remember Jesus saying, you don't just say to a person who says, I'm hungry, well, God bless you, I am naked. Well, God bless you, surely God bless you, and here is some clothing. God bless you, and here is some food. The two go hand in hand. That church exists as a spiritual platform, but as a physical renewal, as an economic renewal, as an educational platform.
Right.
We have a 12-step program. 105 people every Friday night. These are crack cocaine addicts. You minister holistically to them.
Ah, that's what I wanted you to get to, because we aren't talking about a 12-step program. I'm talking about the one-step program of the new birth identified with that holistic spiritual
thing. You're still isolating it and making it one dimensional.
Of course I am.
You wanna say get religion.
Okay.
And he said, okay, I got it. Oh, I got it.
Well,
now what do
great,
I do?
But I didn't say get religion. I says get built up in Christ, because
same
that's
thing.
The thing that's going to keep you out of crises.
Same thing.
You see, it may not necessarily be just the striving for the social agenda, as it is the striving for the inner man being strengthened. I believe that the Bible tells us conclusively that if the inner man is strengthened, you know, that's why Christ came. He came to move inside of the man's life.
But you can't do them serially. You got to do them all at the same time.
Oh, right.
You can't just take a starving man and preach to him. You got to preach to him while you're feeding him.
I agree with you 100%.
Now, the highest priority is the spiritual portion of that person. Of
my question to you was, what is First AME doing in terms of the spiritual aspect?
Oh, my goodness.
No, I mean, what are the... you know, Doug is talking about strategy, and I like that word, because that word, you know, is a buzzword for me. I want to know what the objective of the biblical analysis is.
We assign that person a mentor. That's someone in the same category who will handhold, who will be there. We have adult Bible study, a specialized class for the trouble taught by Mark Whitlock and Al Washington.
We're talking about specifically for the prisoners
yes.
that are going to need
precisely.
Those scriptures
precisely.
That is going to make them healthy
yes.
in transitioning back into, especially, the Christian environment.
Right.
And what night are those classes on? Because we would love to send a couple of our guys down.
Wednesday night,
work.
7 p.m.
Okay.
Now, we have general Bible study that I teach Tuesday night at 7 p.m., but Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. are primarily for men, and primarily for men who are beleaguered, men who are without resources, and that is a whole lot of men. The spiritual component, but now we've still got to be able to take them on Sunday to free legal. We still got to be able to walk around the Louise Bowman's place, emergency feeding and clothing.
Right.
We still got to be able to say, well, housing, but here are some vouchers that will hold you until we can. We still got to be able to help them get a job.
Quite naturally.
Okay, good.
Quite naturally. We are in agreement about that.
Good.
But
good,
I think that the main thing is that one of the concerns that this one brother asked was a concern about him. I'm concerned about him being in a church before he goes to prison and then coming out and falling right back into that
scene. Now, he says, I want a church that teaches Bible study. My God, that's every church. He has to shop around.
Chip, I would say that that's not every church.
Most churches have midweek prayer meetings.
I know what they have.
It's irrelevant as can be. Now, you're talking about a relevant Bible study that really can get to a person who's been knocked down and kicked and rebuked. He should shop around.
Okay. Interesting. It's about 11 o'clock, and we have a very interesting call coming in. And Pastor Murray, I want you to read that that's coming up here, because we will take this call from North Hills. Mike, you stay on the line.
Very interesting interview with myself and Cecil Chip Murray. The famous, because he's a very famous man. The world knows him. First AME Church here in Los Angeles. He recently retired. This was a radio interview, a portion of a radio interview that I had with Cecil a number of years ago. Thank you for listening to that discussion. That discussion had to do with the social agenda versus the spiritual agenda. If you notice what I was attempting to do, I was attempting to hold to the spiritual. Okay, we're going there into the prisons and we're doing something. What we're doing is we're trying to do as Ephesians said. To build up the body of Christ, okay, to build them up, not to just give them the social agenda, the food and the shelter and the legal assistance, and all that is good. So you can see the two different agendas that churches take. Some pastors take a social agenda, as Chip Murray does, and I take the spiritual agenda. And that's where myself and the more liberal groups get along, because we can have these kinds of open discussions. So you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You also notice what Chip attempted to do is he attempted to say, well, every church has a Bible study. No, no, no. When you're having a social agenda to help people out of their dilemma, that's not necessarily the Word of God, though I think that Christ would want those guys to be helped. So you see where the balance comes in? Interesting discussion. Thanks for tuning in to Into the Word Ministries. African-American Apologetics with a Twist. This is Pastor John Coleman. This is The Biblical Alternative.